Welcome to episode 6 of the Whitchurch Silk Mill podcast, hosted by me, Zoe Umpleby. After spending the last 5 episodes discovering all about how we weave silk here at the mill, today we're actually going to be bringing it all together and talk about keeping up traditions. So back with us, we have Shannon and Olivia from our weaving team, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about working with the mill as a student weaver and why they think it's important that the weaving traditions are kept alive. So Shannon, you started at the mill as a trainee weaver. So how did you find the experience?
Well, at first, obviously, I'm thinking, OK, I'll come here. I'm a weaver. I've got my degree. I've done weaving. That makes me a weaver, doesn't it? No. Once I got here, I realised how different it was. I always think when I explain to visitors and they ask me about it, it was like when you're learning to drive, getting your bachelor's degree in weaving is like just skimming through the highway code, and then next thing you know, you've got to learn to actually drive. So that's a bit what it's felt like. It was quite full on at first. I'd never really handled silk, and the first thing that I was doing was raw silk, which if you imagine a strand of your hair, then think maybe a bit thinner than that and white. It was quite intimidating. But like you have that excitement of you because you're like, oh, I've got to where I wanted to be. So I think, though, once I started doing that, you get a feel for it. Actually, it's not as intimidating as you think it is. You've just got to do your best, and that's all they can expect from you anyway. And then you watch as you slowly progress, learn silk. I had to learn different types of silk and what that meant and how I could handle it. And It was quite a full-on year, and then obviously with the pandemic as well. So for a good half of it, I was doing something completely different to my job title would have been anyway, because I was at home with my little loom trying to weave samples. So it's been a hectic and odd one, but still a really great experience.
Amazing. So quite a learning curve then.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And why do you think it's important that weaving students learn about the mill in particular, but also have a hands-on experience? Do you think that's quite important?
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're going to be a weaver, you know, you need to know its history. I think it's got such a vast history. I mean, think how long woven cloth's been about for. I think you've got to know where something comes from in order to develop onto it. I mean, also, you could just be doing something that's already been done because you haven't dug into it. But I think keeping our heritage and is a really important part, because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't know how to weave. If we'd just forgotten about all of these traditions and these ways to make cloth, we'd probably all be naked, so not the best. But yeah, I think as a weaver learning to weave, I think you've got to go back in order to go forwards. So keeping up our traditions and learning our heritage is really crucial, I feel.
And sort of being hands-on with the machinery and the heritage of the machinery as well. Do you think that's quite an important part?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when I did my degree, it was textile design. So it was, you know, designing as well as the process. But I've always preferred the process. But I think in order to understand how a design can come out in woven cloth, you've got to know how it works and also what material works best for what your outcome wants to be. And I think the best way to know that is to have a hands-on approach and physically be involved in that process. And I think there's something about watching something go from thread and then being woven, and then you've done that, you've made that cloth, and you've got this satisfaction at the end that you're like, oh wow, this is mine. It's not just I've designed something, it's I've made something. This physical piece here is mine and I've done that. So, yeah, it's a great feeling.
And doing that on sort of 200-year-old looms as well, I imagine, is pretty something.
Yeah, I always have this vision in my head whenever I'm weaving of, like, what it must have been like when these looms were brand new. And people are like, oh, look at these looms, they're amazing. And I think of how many hands have touched the handles through the years and, like, what they must have felt when they were learning. Because, I mean, a lot of them, they would have learnt when they were there. But for me, it's been this thing and I'm gone to it and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But obviously they would have been factory workers. How would they have felt standing where I am standing now? And yeah, so it's really good, really great,
sort of really touching the past, isn't it? Really,
yeah, definitely really feels like you've got your hand on history.
So now you are a fully fledged weaver tackler and you're still working with us, which is fantastic. So how has your job changed since your training, do you think?
Obviously, I've kept a lot of my same things I do. I'm still working in the weaving shed, threading up. I've had more chance to work on the winding frame and the warping mill, because obviously they go hand in hand. But I've taken on, I feel, a bit more responsibility. I've had the opportunity to take a bit more of a leadership role in a way. We had our 6-week student placements, which I was given the responsibility of supervisor. So it was like thinking, okay, I've got 3 people to entertain for 6 weeks, and also make sure that they have a full experience and they get a real sense of what my job is. So it was kind of, I had to work on like timetabling things in and working with the students quite closely. But also think since we've taken on a trainee, I've also had quite a few responsibilities with taking my knowledge that I've been given and then passing it on, which is great because it keeps it fresh in your head when you've got to go through something step by step again. It's keeping it fresh in your mind and you're like, oh yeah, wait, is that right? Oh yeah, that is what we did. So it kind of like, it keeps it going, it keeps it in your head and you know, so yeah, I've had a lot more responsibilities, I think. And it's felt really good actually.
Amazing, you've done a really good job as well. And talking of which, we are joined by one of the students that were with us, who is now one of our trainees, who's with us as well. And Olivia, can you tell us about your summer weaving placement and why did it appeal to you?
So my summer weaving placement was really exciting, a completely new experience. When I was at university, I hadn't gained any first-hand weaving experience, so I really enjoyed the process actually just weaving, so I really wanted to find a placement that would give me the full experience, so the Whitchurch Silk Mill was just the perfect place really, and quite close to home, so I didn't have to travel too far, but yeah, it was really good fun.
Amazing, I bet you had a great time. And what did you do during your placement and how is that different from what you did at university?
So we've done a lot of various jobs really, shadowing Shannon on all the machinery. So we learnt the bobbin winding and that was quite exciting. So once we were confident, we were able to work on our own, the 3 of us, while Shannon was getting on with her work. And then we were able to go down in the weave shed and shadow Shannon on the Dobby loom and to see what she was working on. And then we got to shadow also when she was inspecting the ribbons that she had just completed. So that was really exciting to see it from the loom and to see it come off and as a finished product. But yeah, we just got to learn all about the machinery, the water wheel and how that works. And then we got a tour around the mill and learned all about the history and got to speak to visitors. So it was very on hand. And yeah, it was a really good experience.
Amazing. And working with these sort of 200-year-old machines as well must have been a bit of a learning curve as well.
Yeah.
Compared to university, yeah.
Yeah, it was very unique and it was great to be a part of because not many people like get this experience. So yeah, it was really exciting and very different from university because mostly use like jacquards and like arm looms at university. So coming to the mill, not ever being able to use a Dobby loom or a tappet loom. So to be able to say I've got to use this 200-year-old loom is just really exciting and people are really shocked and about the placement. So it was a really good experience to have. Mm. Yeah.
History at your fingertips.
Yeah.
And the same last question to you as I asked Shannon. Why do you think it's important to keep traditions alive?
I think weaving, it's the oldest form of textile. So I think it's important to keep it alive because fabric is mostly woven. And especially having the mill open as a working museum, I think it's great to keep the tradition alive and to get younger people involved and to see what we're doing. And to keep weaving going because it's so important and it would be such a shame to see it die out. So, yeah, it's really good to see it going, to be a part of.
So that's so good to hear. And of course, we are passionate about passing down weaving traditions. So on that note, we've actually done a bit of digging into our archives and found some examples of weaving traditions from past weavers that we wanted to share. And then we're going to ask you both whether you actually still follow them or whether you have your own versions. So here's a good one to start off with. And this is from Ellen, who was a weaver with us during the time of James Hyde.
Well, we probably played the tricks on the other girls, really, you know. And of course, we used to have it. He used to go home for breakfast, and then we used to sit down round a old stove in the middle of the room. Used to toast a bit of toast at the bottom, and sit there. Instead of 10 minutes, we used to have about an half an hour or till he came back. And then we were busy. Everybody got up and jumped and got on with their work.
So I'm sure there are no extended tea breaks at the mill in these days, Olivia, when you're so busy. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we try to stick to our timed limit of our tea breaks, but occasionally they do overrun. But we mostly catch up of what our tasks are doing that day, because we are normally working on different projects or different parts of the weaving process, so it's kind of a time to catch up on to see like what we need to do, if we need to change anything. So yeah, but usually we try to stick to a 15-minute tea break.
And how much tea do you consume during the day?
Not many. I'm not really a tea drinker, but I do like hot beverages, hot chocolate. But yeah, I try to just keep hydrated, so not too many.
Maybe that can be a new tradition, hot chocolate rather than tea.
Yes.
Brilliant. So our next extract is from Frida, who was also a weaver, and she's talking about using a knotting machine.
Ted recalls that it used to take several weeks to actually set up a loom with a new batch of silk. So
yes,
they now have a machine which does it in about 2.5 hours.
I know. There's the harness and the warp used to have to be threaded through the harness, which was probably 8 reeds, and they had to thread it through in a certain pattern, and there'd be sort of like 200 of those threads to an inch, and to do the whole warp across the loom really did take a long time, threading it all through and pulling it through and not letting it drop out again.
And then Shannon, is this something that we still use today?
So we don't really use the knotting machine. It is something eventually down the line we would like to try and master again. But I think we really enjoy the older tradition of hand twisting, because it's not something really vastly used anymore. I mean, a lot of more modern mills, they will use knotting machines. But hand twisting, there's something about sitting there, because you've got to sit in the loom, you're doing it, you're taking one thread from the old warp and one thread from the new warp, and you've got chalk between your fingers, stop it from rubbing, all the silk from rubbing up against your hands and making them raw, because it will do, and twisting them together and watching them ping into place. And it's just one of really old traditions that are being lost. So if we continue to just rely on the knotting machine, it'll be lost. And it just seems like a really sad thing for me that that's gone, and it's because we decided to use a knotting machine instead of keeping that going.
Is it quite nice for you both to sort of hear stories from weavers in the past and they're having similar experiences to you now?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's quite funny actually to hear. I've obviously hadn't really heard a lot of these, and thinking now and I hear them, and then I think, oh my God, we do that still. It's like all this time it's still going. I didn't know that was a thing. It's like the tea breaks and stuff like that. It's still little things that continue, even though it's not to do with the looms, maybe it's just behaviours we have around the mill. And it's obviously clearly a trait within weavers.
So we've got another extract here, and this one is about the water wheel, and this is from Joan, who was also a weaver, and she's going to be telling us a little bit about clearing weeds from the water wheel.
Oh, yes, the girls used to do it in their turns.
Yes.
To go down and rake the weeds off of the wheel. When they used to cut the weeds in the river, and they used to come flowing down,
yeah.
And of course they used to go in and get caught up in the wheel,
yeah.
And you used to have to go down there and rake the weeds off. I think they still do now.
Wow, okay, what a job. So have you found yourselves clearing out the water wheel at all?
Yes, so especially around weed cutting season. So you've got a lot of stuff all along the banks that are being cut and channeled towards the water wheel. So we've got hooks, obviously. Every time you go to turn the water wheel on, you just have to check to make sure there's not weed built up along the grates across, because that's the way the water goes to get to the water wheel. So usually it means once I've opened up the gates, I'll go along there with a weed hook and I'll try and get it off the grates at the front. Sometimes there'll be barely anything, but during weed cutting season, there's a lot. And it can get really heavy, actually. It builds up enough. You've got a lot of weed weighted there. Sometimes you've got branches stuck within it, so you're, like, lifting up heavy branches. And it's a muscle builder, definitely. But, yeah, it's something we still do today.
So you don't have to go to the gym then after you've done that job?
No. Why pay for a gym subscription when you can come and work at the mill?
So apparently the weavers were also very good at multitasking back in the day. So here is Ellen, and she's talking about one of the little naughty things that the weavers used to get up to when Mr. Hyde went on his break.
Now, when I was talking to one of the other ladies who worked in the mill, she said she used to knit socks underneath her...
Oh, yes, we took Nick and knit them. We made a bag and put under her apron. And if the work was going all right, we used to knit at the same time. It's the same happened upstairs with all the other work, you know.
Okay, so maybe not knitting, but Olivia, do you or are you able to multitask in a different way these days if everybody is watching you? How do you feel?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Quite a shock, actually, to when people are just walking about and you're trying to, like, get on with weaving. But it is quite an experience, and I don't mind it too much now. I've definitely got used to it. It was a bit scary at first, like to make a mistake or something, but if I'm trying to do something that I need to fully concentrate and focus on, I just leave it and then I'll go chat to visitors if they want to know what I'm doing. But yeah, that helps, trying to multitask, just to leave it and then speak and then get back to it. Otherwise I don't want to create a mistake, because it could cause problems in the weaving process. But yeah, I've definitely got better at it, and yeah, it's great, it's fine.
And do you find it sort of easy talking to visitors now about the machinery as well as you're doing it, and do they pick up on that, or are they just watching you, do they enjoy just watching you do it? I imagine mostly.
Yeah, I think it helps when I'm at the machine, so then I can explain it and, like, point out what I'm doing, and that definitely helps, and then they have a better understanding. But yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't mind. I quite enjoy talking to visitors and then educating them. So yeah, it's great.
Amazing. And it's really lovely to hear your own stories as well from today, but from the past as well. It's, a lot of them seem quite similar to the things that you might do today. So that's lovely to hear. And if you want to hear more from the weavers of the past, please do visit us at the mill, where you can hear them. So finally, we have a lovely wooden bench upstairs on the top floor where weavers from over the past 100 years have signed their names. So have either of you been tempted to add your names to it?
I'd like to, but in preserving it, we've obviously can't add any more names. A lot of the ones that date the furthest back are in pencil. And obviously sliding the bench in and out wears it away. So every time adding someone else's name in, it's also very full, so trying to squeeze my name in wouldn't be so great. But I think it is one of those things that I'm sure that we'll find something else for us to continue the tradition on. So there's still a heritage going on, but we're not writing over the top of previous names.
When you say sliding out, is like a panel on the top?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, there's a panel within the wooden bench. So it's not conspicuous, it's hidden. So there's this weird little panel on the surface of it that looks part of the bench, but it slides out, and then under that, if you flip it over, the panel, you've got all of these names written inside of it, and what dates all of it, and you can recognize some names, and some names I imagine from the videos that we've just listened to. But obviously, yeah, taking it in and out every time we do that, it wears it away a bit. But it's just a hidden treasure that you can't see, but you know it's there. So, yeah, it's really nice.
What an amazing bit of heritage as well to keep, isn't it? And do you still use the bench? You still sit on the bench today?
Oh, yeah. When we're winding, it sits by the winding frame. So we need to rest our weary legs. We have to sit on the bench. Obviously, when we have visitors come around, we're up like, you know, oh, we're doing stuff. Yes, cool. But we still use the bench.
And what about you, Olivia? Have you been tempted to screw your name on the bench?
Not really. I don't want to ruin the heritage. And like Shannon said, it's quite full as well. But I would like to be able to write my name elsewhere. So hopefully we can find a place for that soon.
Because maybe that's a job. Maybe that's a job for you too, is to find somewhere new to put the weavers of the future.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to get round to it soon.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for telling us about the mill traditions. It's really lovely to hear some of those old anecdotes from past workers and, as we said, some of them you still use today, which is amazing. So that's it for our final episode. We have really enjoyed making this podcast series. All of the guests have been fabulous, and thanks to Olivia and Shannon, of course, for giving us all an insight into life at the mill. We hope you've enjoyed the series, and don't forget to check out our socials or visit us in person if you are close enough. And if you haven't, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel to hear all of our episodes.